Blog Talk Radio.
This Zion Williamson thing is supposed to change things for New Orleans. Like, it absolutely should change the game for the New Orleans Pelicans and their situation with Anthony Davis, whether they're able to keep him, whether he actually wants to leave. This should change things. This should absolutely change the calculus, and it would really be a shame, an absolute shame if it didn't. Like, it would be shameful if this new information, this new addition, presumed addition to the team, if that does not change things for both the way the Pelicans approach the Anthony Davis situation and Anthony Davis's attitude toward the situation. Hear me out here. Anthony Davis, the last time we heard, wanted out of New Orleans and wants to play for the Lakers, the Los Angeles Lakers. That's where LeBron James is. They're the Lakers. There seems to be obvious reasons to want to go play for the Lakers as opposed to playing for the Pelicans in New Orleans. Obvious reasons. And you could argue that it's still that way on the face of it. You know, it's LeBron, it's the Lakers. Like, just an obvious decision, you think. But we have new information since the Anthony Davis fallout of midseason or the trade deadline of this, what is still currently this season, but, you know, just a few months back, where Anthony Davis makes it known that he wants to be traded specifically to the Lakers. And obviously the Lakers, LeBron James, Rich Paul and Clutch Sports and that whole connection make it obvious that they would like to have a player like Anthony Davis. And so it was a debacle, obviously. But since then, we've gotten more information. Since that presumably made sense to all of us that, you know, the Lakers would want Anthony Davis and that he would want to go there, we've learned that the Lakers are even more dysfunctional than they perhaps seemed at that time, and that is an organization in flux. Like, I don't know if there is a better way to characterize it at this point other than to say that you don't trust the Lakers as an organization, that the best thing that the Lakers have going for them is an aging LeBron James. Like, that's the upside with the Lakers right now. Like, they have some good young talent, but they've been talking about trading it. They're like non-committal to it. And quite frankly, it's not good enough young talent to set you apart or set you up to be like a dominant team or anything like that in the long run. Like, you need a guy. You needed a LeBron James. In addition to LeBron James, you still need another guy, which is why you want Anthony Davis. But we don't have anything with the Lakers to indicate that that is a franchise worth investing in as a player. Like, I think at this point, we're looking at LeBron James as the cautionary tale, as perhaps the guy who may have made the wrong decision in going to go play there. And make no mistake about it, it's the Lakers. Like, we get it. We get why he would want to play for the Lakers, but this is not even your big brother's Lakers. Like, this is not Jerry Buss's. This is not the Lakers of old. This is a new regime. These are the Buss kids. Not Dr. Buss. So, and look, the way Magic went out of there, the way Rob Pelinka's reputation has taken a hit over the last couple of weeks, Jeannie Buss, what we're seeing over there, like, I don't know if that's really the organization that you want to go be a part of. And to take it away from the front office, if you just look at it on the court, I'm hearing everybody say how, well, Anthony Davis wants to win now. He wants to go to a contender now. And maybe the Lakers is not the move. Maybe the move is somewhere else. Maybe it's Boston trading for him. Maybe it's him going somewhere else in free agency. I'm focusing on the Lakers right now because that just seems to be where he wants to go. Like, if New Orleans plays this correctly and, like, they don't trade him until at the very earliest, the trade deadline, and then perhaps just risk losing him for nothing and let him walk, he seems to want to go to the Lakers. Here's why that is a bad idea, right? Do you want to play with LeBron James after this coming season? Because, see, it made sense before to have wanted to play with LeBron James this season, right? To have gotten with LeBron James, the trade deadline, made a playoff push, gotten one of those mid to lower seeds in the Western Conference and seen what you could do with it. Then you come back and you run it back, right? That would have made sense to want to play with him this season and to even perhaps want to play with him next season. But he's under contract with New Orleans next season. So New Orleans can use that, keep him, takes away a season with LeBron James. And do you want to play with LeBron James in 2020? 2018, 2019, sure. 2019, 2020, maybe. But that 2020-21 year, that 21-22 year, I don't know. I think I might rather kick it with Zion. I might rather kick it with Zion in New Orleans. And look, they got money to spend there. They have an opportunity to actually build a team while at the same time contending right now. Like, I think Zion, the thing about Zion that makes them such a generational talent isn't just, like, potential. Like, we look at Zion as a dude that could come into the league right now and be an elite player. That's why he's different than your run-of-the-mill presumptive number one overall pick. Like, he's not DeAndre Ayton, where you're like, yeah, this guy is the best guy in the draft. He has all-star potential. We're going to draft him. No, he's LeBron. He's Dwight Howard. Think about the guys who were like the obvious number one overall pick, or a guy who was just obviously going to make a difference right away. He is that guy, and then he gets to be the second best player on his team. Normally, that the team that gets that guy becomes the best player on the team immediately. Like, sure, you might have a Ricky Davis on your team that thinks they're bringing LeBron James on to help you, to help build around you. Sure, you got guys in the NBA with that level of confidence, but that's not the reality. This would be such a unique situation, both for the Pelicans and just from how the draft works standpoint and who gets the good players. Which team gets the good players. Tanking was not rewarded. So, like, the team that got the number one overall pick in the lottery was not a team that was, like, necessarily trying to be bad. Like, it's hard to look at New Orleans last year and think that they were trying to be good. But they weren't necessarily tanking. And the teams that were did not get rewarded with what they were actually tanking for. Because you can say anything you want about Ja Morant and the other guys at Duke and the kid from Texas Tech. You can say whatever you want about those guys. After Zion, we don't really know what the ceiling is for the rest of these guys. Like, I think it is fair to say that that it is likely another star will be produced from this draft, but I feel comfortable only saying that Zion will be a star. Like, just attaching a prediction or idea to that. Like, I that's the only one that I'm for sure, in my mind, this is the can't-miss guy. The rest of them, there's potential throughout the draft or in different places, different guys, I guess, but, like, I don't know if Ja Morant is actually going to be a star. I thought Johnny Flynn coming out of Syracuse was going to be a star. Prediction didn't work out so well. So there's a lot of uncertainty here, but not so much with the guy who New Orleans got. I mean, I think it's time for both sides to reconsider what all of this means, and it makes it just that much more fascinating. It makes the draft that much more fascinating, and this offseason, what happens with the free agency, how do, like, wherever the chips fall this offseason, how does that affect the hierarchy in the Western Conference? Like, do the Warriors get knocked down a peg if they lose Kevin Durant, which most of us think they will? And if things go weird with, like, if something really odd happens with Klay Thompson, like, I think all of us expect Klay Thompson to stay with the Warriors however they work it out. But, like, we can't discount the idea that that might go south, that that could go south. Like, the Warriors could play with Klay's money. We don't think that they will, but they could. We don't think that Klay is such an ego-driven guy that he's so caught up with the money. But things could go weird there. What if the Warriors don't look anything like what they look like this year? And even with Kevin Durant, if they bring Klay back, you know, you've got Draymond coming up, and it's just – We are on the tail end of that Warriors legacy. Like, it's not like it was 2 years ago when it's like, man, the Warriors might run the West for the next 3 to 5 years. Like, they really only have this could be it. This could really be it of them, and they don't even feel as unbeatable now. They're not as unbeatable now as they have been in past years. They're much more vulnerable already, even still with Kevin Durant. So what does the Western Conference even look like? What, you know, we expect the best free agencies to go east. Like, we expect the east to be, like, even stronger next year if the Knicks land Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving like they think they will. Like, we suspect that they'll go there. What if Kawhi stays? What if the Sixers at least are able to keep Jimmy Butler, if not both him and Tobias Harris, if they're at least able to keep Jimmy Butler, what does that look like? The Bucks are basically built for now and the near future. Like, the East might be the bloodbath. Whereas, what does the West look like? You have an aging and declining Rockets team. And outside of that, you know, everybody is pretty competitive, but, you know, with two stars, you're right there. Like, with Zion and AD, Anthony Davis, Zion Williamson, I would put that pairing up against pretty much any other in the West if I'm able to build around that. If you're able to get some commitment from those two guys, you can get other guys there too, I think. I think you should. At least you should. Like, I don't know if this is actually how it's going to work out, because it could very well be the case that Anthony Davis just wants to leave. But I feel like this is how it should play. Like, this should open people's minds up a little bit more and make them reconsider what they're trying to do and what they can do. I honestly think it should. You put Anthony Davis and Zion Williamson as a pairing up against Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum. I'll take that pairing versus, you know, I'll take it. Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. James Harden and Chris Paul. Russell Westbrook and Paul George. Who else we got? DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. Like I'm putting that pairing up against any of the others. Lou Williams and Patrick Beverley. That's a joke, but I mean, come on. Like this is it. This is a contender now. Both next year and certainly in the year that and in the offseason in which Anthony Davis is actually a free agent, which is 2020. Zion will have already had a year under his belt. Now you're looking at the future with a second-year Zion Williamson. You still get another year with Drew Holiday if he opts in. Like, so you get next year with Drew Holiday, right? You got Zion, Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis next year. That's a playoff team. That's enough talent, I believe, to make a run in the playoffs. You're at least as good, I believe, potentially as good as you were the year that you swept Portland, which was at that point have been two seasons before. Like, that's a playoff team. Going into free agency, you possibly get another year. I think it's another year of Drew Holiday. He will be their other highest paid, second highest paid player on that team if he opts in, and he absolutely should in that case to get that $27 million at that point in his career, 21-22 season, $27 million for Drew Holiday if you sign on for that next year. Supermax deal with a team with potential. I don't think that it should be a foregone conclusion that you want to go play for the Lakers and with LeBron past this season. This could be the better play, man. This could be the better play. I don't know if it's even viable or realistic. I haven't seen anything yet to indicate that Anthony Davis is reconsidering his stance, his position of wanting to leave New Orleans. I don't see that. But yeah, I think it should. I think this should weigh on him, and that it should absolutely take, like I'm not even picking up the phone if Danny Ainge calls. I'm not even picking up the phone if Boston calls, if anybody calls. Like, I'm holding on to this. And I'm going all in on this if I'm New Orleans, like if I'm Dave Griffin. Another thing I'll note, Dave Griffin. Running things over in New Orleans now. That certainly looks like a sturdier ship than the one in Los Angeles. Specifically the Lakers. I said the one, the Lakers. That looks better. You know what I really want to have? You know what I'm really rooting for at this point? You know how we have these reports that there are people in Jeannie Buss' circle who are telling her that she should trade LeBron James. And apparently there was a report not too long ago that she considered trading LeBron James after this whole Anthony Davis thing went awry, as you might say. I am actually rooting for, because this would be so chaotic, but also I don't even know if chaotic is the right word, because it would just be funny if somehow LeBron James strong-armed his way to New Orleans, like figured out a way to get himself traded to New Orleans. Or if the Lakers actually do trade LeBron James, like for whatever, and it just doesn't work. And say he goes somewhere, but like they trade him somewhere where he can be good. Because how disrespectful would it be to trade LeBron James to like a place that's not good? Like I feel like if you trade him at this point, you got to kind of trade him out of respect or waive him or something like that. You can't trade LeBron to like the Hornets. You know, like I feel like the league would have to step in if you tried to do that. I feel like the league would have to step in and like for basketball reasons, you know, like in the interest of fairness and justice and all things that are right with the world. Like, I'm actually rooting for the LeBron experiment in L.A., or at least I was. I was optimistic about it. I thought it was cool. Not so much anymore. You know. But yeah, how cool would it be if somehow, like, LeBron ended up in New Orleans? Because again, that seems like to be the the sturdier shit, the better play. And if I'm Anthony Davis, that's absolutely where I want to be versus with the Lakers in that situation. Now, maybe he changes his mind about wanting to go to Boston and they're able to work something out there. Maybe he has another dude who he wants to pair up with somewhere else and has, you know, reconsidered the Lakers thing anyway. But this New Orleans thing, again, is not a bad look. And, again, if I'm the Pelicans, I am not giving up on Anthony Davis at this point. Because, like, think about it. If you just keep Zion and say, to hell with it with Anthony Davis, which you absolutely could do, but you're basically still back where you were 6 or 7 years ago when you first got Anthony Davis, and you're just kind of running in place, which is not necessarily the worst thing in the world, because at least you still have a star, and it certainly takes the pressure off of you for if you lose Anthony Davis. Like, I think losing him for nothing is not the scariest of notions now. But this is like a lifeline for your franchise. This could save and alter the franchise in a way that, I mean, I just don't think you can understate. To be able to draft Zion Williamson and keep Anthony Davis and, like, ride that out. Like, do we think Anthony Davis can progress? I'm sorry. Do we think Zion can progress in the way that Giannis has? Like, do we think that there's potential to be something like that? Something scary like that? I don't know. But, again, I'm thinking the Pelicans are much more interesting with me if I'm Anthony Davis. They're much more interesting with me and Zion than, like, most teams are with me and whoever else. It's an option, a better option than it was a couple of days ago. But, yo, how much must it suck to be a Knicks fan, though? I saw the Knicks fans on my timeline just so deflated, knowing that it appears likely, or at least in play, that they're going to get Kevin Durant this offseason. And that they might even get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, which would totally alter their franchise, the fate of their franchise. Because Kevin Durant, while now on the other side of 30 at that point, will be, you know, on the other side of 30 and aging, he still seems to be in his prime. And, you know, Kyrie definitely, you know, in his prime. You're going to get two superstars in their prime, likely. And you're sad. You're sad today because you did not get the generational star, the generational talent that you've been hoping for all season. Like, Knicks fans were following Duke basketball and college basketball probably more closely than they were the NBA. Because that's where the intrigue lies. That's where the intrigue was for that fan base. It was more worth it to watch what could be than to watch what was. And now you're not even getting that guy. As I said earlier, and as has been noted by a number of NBA writers over the last, you know, 8 to 10 hours or so, or whatever it is, however long it's been. Tanking was not rewarded. Being bad on purpose was not rewarded. And I get it as a strategy, but you saw here that, you know, with the change to how the lottery works, their chances lessened from something like 25% to 14%, the Knicks did, of getting the number one overall pick, and it did not work. It did not work. They're going to have to settle for one of those other kids from Duke, one of the ones that we really don't know if they're good or not. And to be clear, look, R.J. Barrett, is that who they're going to end up with? They got the number three pick, right? They're going to end up with R.J.? R.J. Barrett, a lot of people think, is just going to end up being a much better pro than he looked like he could be in college. And that, like, that whole thing is just going to flip up on his head, and the Knicks are going to get themselves. And I actually hope so. I'd love to see that work out. I'm not rooting against the Knicks. I just find it hilarious how loyal and irrational of a fan base that is. And I can identify with some of the pain and heartache as a Houston, overall Houston sports fan. But they're much more in the spotlight as Knicks fans. And it's just hilarious to see how much they have coveted the idea of getting this player. And they will not. They will have to probably settle for one of his teammates that we don't think is going to be as good. Sucks to be a Knicks fan. Sucks to be a Knicks fan. Because you also now have to, now you have to get KD. Now you have to, right? Like, it was one thing when, you thought you might get Zion. So if you get Zion, bam, there's the insurance policy right there. To hell with it, if we don't get KD or Kyrie, we got Zion. We got this building block. Fall back on that. Now, say the KD to Knicks, KD to New York rumors were overplayed, overblown. Say that be the case. Say Kyrie is actually more interested in going to play for the Nets because he grew up in New Jersey and he's actually maybe a Nets fan. I don't know. I'm just spitballing. But say he wants to go to the Nets or the Lakers because he's rethought the whole legacy with LeBron thing and thinks that might work and might want to play for the Lakers, not the Knicks. Say this doesn't work out the way you thought. Whew. Sweating bullets now, man. Sweating bullets. I at this point, if I'm a Knicks fan, I'm going to be now, I guess, noncommittal or just, not invested in this sure thing of KD coming to the Knicks. You can still be hopeful with that and still, really want that to happen, but I wouldn't put too much emotional energy into that at this point. Because you are setting yourself up for, a dangerous level of failure and, emotional discomfort here if that doesn't work out. And, say even all you get is Kyrie. Or, you have to – or it's like a Amari Stoudemire year or something like that, and you have to just, settle for, a pretty good free agent that wants to come to New York because you're going to throw a lot of money at somebody if you don't get the guys that you want. And you just have to settle for something – lackluster, just way less than, KD, Zion, and Kyrie. Nothing good happens to the Knicks. Nothing. That really sucks. That really, really, really sucks. But, I want this to work. I think it'd be cool if they're able to get R.J. Barrett. R.J. Barrett actually turns out to be as good and as talented as we think he is. Whereas a lot of people think he is, and that Kevin Durant does come, Kyrie Irving does come, and all is well, and this actually works out for Knicks fans. So I do want it. I think it'd be entertaining, and I do want it to work. So we'll see. New Orleans needs to hold on to AD. Knicks fans need to keep the faith. And I'll see y'all next time.